Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, Susanna. Happy birthday again. I won't sing again, so I because I don't want to damage the phone. Anyway, happy birthday, my girl. Your dad still loves you. I made mention in my birthday video to you, I haven't seen you now for half your life, but I still love you. And you know, consistent with that is I got a card today. It was sent to Zadok. Please live the last 90 seconds of the Black Families Matter video. Your dad is. Specifically, that's the video where at the end I say, you know, for a man to find one woman and stick with that one woman all the days of her life. I have found one woman, your mom, and I have not strayed from her at all. And I promise not to. So I'm keeping the promise, but obviously that's not shared. I found it ironic because one of the things that I mentioned to you in the birthday video is, you know, I formed a phrase in order to give what I would understand as a summary of what marriage is, because I had mentioned previously, I asked a gentleman, the future college professor, where does the Lord define marriage in the Bible? And he couldn't answer it. Well, I can. You know, Genesis, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave or cling and be joined to his wife, the two become one flesh. It's literally to glue. I've been over that many times. But so a good summary of that, of Genesis through Revelation, is marriage begins with sex and ends with death. And like I say, I reviewed that many times. I'll leave you, there's my marriage section on the website, and I've mentioned that many times. But God has this way of doing his ironies. I have a friend I've mentioned who is a Latter-day Saint, and obviously we have foundational disagreements. He found a book that he said has really impacted him. And I did some quick review of the author and his description of it, and I found this guy doesn't understand truth. However, because the importance is not, is the relationship. So rather than this guy doesn't understand truth and move on, I invested in the book, and it just arrived today. It's called Falling Upward, Richard Rohr. From what I know of it thus far, it's, I haven't actually read it yet, but I have it to read, and I bought a large print version. I've got it to read, and because the relationship with my friend is too important to simply write it off. So I want to engage him intelligently, on what this has said and why I would contend, you know, because this is basically the issue about relative truth versus absolute truth. Yes, there is an absolute truth. His name is Jesus Christ. But anyway, when I bought that, I looked around how to find it, and I ended up getting a printed copy for a variety of reasons. But so when I looked at it, it was like $23, $25 or whatever. And if you get to $40, it was free shipping. So I looked at the shipping cost with just the book, or if I added something, I could, you know, basically get that for, you know, basically half price. So I figured, since, you know, years ago, I had a printed version, NIV version, I don't have it in front of me right now, of the Bible. And I don't have an ESV version. Well, I do now. So I just simply bought a cheap copy of the ESV. I went out to the mailbox, saw the box, start coming back again. I have a 300-foot driveway, so it takes a moment to walk back. And I'm opening the box, and I said, okay, I see the one book, I see the Bible. And I just opened it just to see the size of the print and the clarity and so forth. And God has his, you know, I hear him laughing because I opened it to Isaiah 54:1. And obviously I just made the statement, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. So what is Isaiah I hear the Lord laughing. In the ESV, what I have, sing, O barren one, who did not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, you who have been not been in labor. For children of the disobedient one will be more than the children of who is married, says the Lord. Well, let's look also at the LSV. Sing, O barren, she who is not born. Break forth with singing, cry aloud, she who is not brought forth. For more are the sons of the desolate than the sons of the married one, says Yahweh. So it's very, very similar. And I said, okay, let's look to see. You know, the married one in the Tanakh, the Hebrew, it is someone who is married. In the Septuagint, the Greek, it is someone who doesn't have a man. Or who has a man, positive context here. So right there is politically incorrect because the birthing person is only a woman and that woman is only married to a man. Consistent idea, right? The idea of the barren one is someone who is apparently also sterile. So I was wondering about this because what does this really mean? You know, because of the fact then the married one, this implies someone who's not married. Not married. Therefore, she's not having offspring. Why would she not be having offspring? Because she's not married and it requires marriage to have offspring. And then what makes you married? Well, sex. So I would suggest it's not the definitive statement of the idea that marriage begins with sex and ends with death. But like so many other things, it's consistent with it. And I think that's one of the important things. If you have an understanding of something in Scripture, all the periphery statements will be consistent with that foundational idea. If a periphery statement is not consistent, we might want to check if that foundational idea is true. You know, and of course, you know, there are some foundational statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Is there anything in Scripture that contradicts that? And I would contend, good luck in finding that one. But anyway, I found that fascinating. So what I used today for the photo is my date with you when you're about 4 years old on July 12th of 2007, as it's labeled an infamous day. You know, here's because that photo's on my wall, as is that photo, the same day when Mr. Tamal was assassinated by the people or people associated with the people at Fort Rucker. Anyway, that was a really big deal day, and it caused a lot of issues. But it goes on. I listened to a couple things, you know, because I've mentioned how the West is collapsing both militarily, economically, and morally. I have a link, three videos, one from Gonzalo Lira, who is a gentleman I've mentioned before. He is a Colombian American, been in the U.S. for a long time, spent some time in Europe, and is currently still in Europe, in Ukraine. Been there for a long time, and he's actually, I don't know if he's on the Ukrainian kill list, but he has been accosted by Ukraine individuals for the things he reports. So he is in a tenuous situation. But he also, he gave a you know, he doesn't live the Christian lifestyle. anyway, but he gave a really good talk on why the rest of the world doesn't want the influence of the United States, the U.S., the West, because of the moral denigration, which is true in Europe, Western Europe. It's very true in Canada and the U.S. And that's why, the image he uses, the rainbow flag, a modified version of the American flag. The rest of the world doesn't want it. And I think he expressed it quite well. But he's not alone. I gave you another one. Kevork Almasian. He does Syriana analysis. Very good. Very good. He is, Armenian, culturally born in Syria, lives currently in Germany. I gave you two things. One was he talked. There was a gentleman a reporter, a Chinese reporter, and asking questions to the UN representative about the issue of the U.S. having troops in Syria. And the UN representative says, "Well, as far as I know, there are no troops there." And he says, "Well, if you're reporting that U.S. troops just died in Syria, then there's a consistency problem here. And why doesn't the UN, if they're concerned about foreign troops in other countries, why not Syria?" And the guy stumbled all over the place. Well, Kevork interviewed this guy, and that was a very interesting interview. And there was the hint also again about people don't want the moral decline of the West. It was part of that interview. He also gave a talk about what the U.S. is doing with Africa. So there's two videos. What Russia is doing with Africa. While the U.S. was doing it with Africa, we are considered by more and more countries simply repugnant in Africa. I mentioned yesterday about the president of Uganda saying, "We don't want your LGBTQ plus SIN stuff." They don't want it. And it's not just Uganda. It's numerous places there. I've heard a lot of people in Nigeria. It was Nigeria and Ethiopia. I've heard people, Christian ministers kind of thing saying, "We don't want this. We don't want the U.S. influence here because it's repugnant." One of the things that was been so fascinating is Ukraine exports all sorts of wheat and it's being stopped because of Russia. Well, there was an agreement signed and who's mining the ports in in Ukraine? Well, the Ukrainians. So that's limiting the flow. And when those that have come out supposed to go to Africa to feed the poor, the bulk of it, I mean, like 90%+ is going to Europe. So they say, "Oh, we're going to feed the starving people of Africa, so we're sending it to Europe." It was a strategic move. Apparently, Vladimir Putin, that evil man, went to Africa in general and said, "Okay, you owe us about $20 billion for various grain and whatnot. We're going to write it off." So, that's a little different than the U.S. policy. And you think the relationship between Russia and the African countries is improving? Well, we're going to offer you bombs. Yeah, and they're going to explode. And of course, it's the U.K. is sending their radioactive arms into Ukraine or have proposed. I don't know if it's actually. And even a lot of people in Ukraine saying, "We don't want this stuff because it's not going to kill the Russians. It's going to kill us." The West is really plummeting badly. And this is can my family see that deception? Of course, it relates back to that infamous day. Because we're right and they're wrong, of course, because we're America, right? I also mentioned, I gave you the link, another episode of New York World Next Week. These two guys who they talk always about three articles. One of them was, the picture of King Charles, or they called it King Chuck. But anyway... GMOs for thee, not for me, which is a play on rules for thee and not for me. Because they give you, and I think they did a quick summary very, very quickly, the amount of effort, because I've heard this about him. I've heard it about, Bill Gates, and I've heard it about, a few others. Well-to-do people, when they travel, they bring their own food. They eat a very sheltered, you know, even, you know, it's even their bathrooms, you know, cause Kim Jong Il, guy in North Korea. I think when he travels with his own porta potty. So does King Chuck. Anyway, I find this fascinating because, you know, so I watched that and I thought, okay, well, this is more confirmation of things, you know, like I say, I've heard of others who do the same kind of thing. But it brings to mind something, obviously, is what about my own family? You know, because I think about, for me, it took pretty close to 40 years to get to the point where I was. I started making a transition in my mid-20s, whatever it was, when I said, okay, I'm seeing the impact. You know, the first strong thing was of Coke, and it was kind of like, okay, I see where it's causing me a problem. So as the story I've told, I had a six pack or a partial six pack of Coke in my refrigerator while I was in Margate, Florida. And I said, okay, I'm done. I have that six pack. I'm going to finish that and never have another Coke again. You know, one of the things my wife has stated about me is that when I'm convinced of something, I stick with it. I finished that six pack. I haven't had a Coke since. And we're getting a close, you know, we're well over 40 years. You know, I did do the compromise stuff. I did Sprite, ginger ale and whatnot, and kind of slowly weaned from that. I haven't had that in about 10 years. I simply don't eat or drink anything based on refined sugar. Eat or drink. All right. And I think, you know, there are the cases, for example, when Chris and I go out and we go to a Five Guys, for example, and get a hamburger. More than likely, a lot of the bread that's used there probably has sugar in it. So, but that's my exposure to sugar. And it's pretty, pretty small. You know, I probably get more through the air than I get, you know, because I simply don't. I haven't. When I got convinced, I had a bag of raw sugar, whatever it's called. I had half a bag, and I said, okay, I got to stop. I took the half a bag, and I threw it away. Unlike with the Coke, where I finished it off, this, I just threw it away. I stopped immediately. And the other thing, it took a little bit longer, maybe a few months, a year, or whatever. I haven't opened a box or can of, you know, food and getting close to 10 years, at least 8 years. So, you know, I've never had a box or can in this house. Today, I had my eggs and raw milk delivered, and also local fresh kale. Oh, this was good kale. Wow. But because it's from the local Mennonite community, that was some good kale. And fortunately, there's a lot of it. But, you know, again, I'm on the ADED diet, a dozen eggs a day. And I've had already a dozen eggs today. So, and am I healthy? Yes. And that's the issue. When I see so many people, again, the comment, I think I made the comment yesterday. I don't know anyone my age or near my age who can run a mile as fast as I can walk a mile. And this concerns me. Because there seems to be, you know, as I mentioned yesterday when I went to the 5K race, again, I asked, did Susanna ever get the medal, which I'm assuming she did not. When I went to that 5K race, there were two guys in their 60s. They probably were older than I am, but they ran, and they beat me. But I walked, race walked, and they didn't beat me that by all that much. I mean, the people that were way up front were a whole lot younger. but that's a rarity. And I think it is plummeting. Again, according to the CDC, average life expectancy in the United States is plummeting over the last couple of years. More than likely related to the vaccine. But that's, you know, another issue. But in general, you know, as I point out, it's not the fact that we have so much improved medical care that people are living longer. That's complete hogwash. It's nutrition and sanitation. Because, again, the obvious piece of evidence, what stopped most of the plagues of years ago? Sanitation. What prevents plagues or, you know, and or allows them to foster poor sanitation, poor nutrition. And we live in a time where we have more nutrition. The issue is there's, you know, a starvation diet where you're going to have problems, but then there's a diet, but it's processed food, and there's a diet where it's good food or organic food. If you have the organic food, you end up living longer. If you have the processed food, you're going to do better than the guy who's not eating at all, obviously. So my concern with my family, we made some effort to be organic and things of that nature, but we downed the sugar. Please, stop. You're my family. You're my kids, my wife, extended family. Stop the refined sugar. Again, the obvious piece of evidence. You know, there's something to be gained here that is why we have such a big use of sugar. Because the sugar industry funded research to show that a high-fat diet was not healthy for you. It was based on fraud. And over time, more studies have come out and saying, well, actually, a high-fat diet is good for you. But it's in the culture now. And a low-fat diet tastes like garbage. Therefore, you augment it with sugar. So that's why the sugar industry funded those studies. And you have the other thing about it, it endorses the medical industrial complex simply because you have now this need for medical care because your health is plummeting because you're eating this sugar and processed food. I'm ridiculously healthy for someone my age. I hope it. My kids and my wife will be the same when they get to my age. Their peers, more likely, will not. And I'm biased. I love my family. Susanna, happy birthday. Your 20th birthday. And over half of that was without your dad, not by my choice. Because again, remember, the photo that I'm using today is our date on October 12th of 2007. 5 years to the day, October 12th, 2012, is when Mom abandoned me. I was abandoned. I'm still keeping the promise. I didn't abandon anybody. I've been striving for reconciliation. You look at what's online. Find anyone who does that kind of effort to strive to reconcile a family. My lady, my wife, I love you. Susanna, my daughter, I love you. and I want you both back.